Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University and is a licensed chiropractor with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School and the clinic director at the Premier Center in Santa Monica, where he treats many famous names in Hollywood under nationally recognized Premier Labs owner and CEO Dr. Robert Marshall. Got a health question? Ask Dr. Medici live today on Straight Talk on Health. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. All right, we've got a show today that starts on a different forum. I've brought a guest on. Her name is Ellen Heed. I'm going to start doing this. And what I want to do is develop a forum on the air where occasionally I bring in practitioners who I've known, who I trust, and who I want you to know about. And over the next year, then, I want to compile people from all over, okay, all over the United States that have something to add to your health, but get the gold standard, and that's my approval. And that is the gold standard, because nobody's tougher on me than me, and nobody's tougher on my fellow practitioners than me. And I think we need to do this, and I'm going to bring people on in future shows who have spent incalculable sums of money being ripped off by holistic practitioners who had no merit and, as far as I'm concerned, no sincerity. So if you don't think you can get ripped off in the healing arts, please think again. I'd put my 20 years to support that statement. Now, I've got to tell you this. We're going to talk today about topics that have to do with sexual body parts, genitals. And if you're not the kind of person that can listen to commentary on vagina, clitoris, anal sphincter, internal genital massage, and this sort of thing, which is going to be medically valuable and is going to be done in a very tactful manner. But if those types of words and those types of topics aren't really the kind of thing you like to hear, if for whatever reason you might be a little nervous about listening to these things discussed on the air, then maybe this show isn't for you. So we're going to do a little disclaimer. I told you so. I don't think you'll have a problem with anything that's said. Everything that we're talking about today is medically valid, but these are intimate topics. So especially if you've got children listening, maybe this isn't a topic for them. Okay? All right. I said it. You heard it. Let's continue. Mom and dad. First, let's talk about mommy. Mommy has a baby. Now, I, as a doctor, have watched moms have children over the last 20 years and seen their lives change, and not just for the better. Children bring you good luck, and we know that. But how many moms are in the audience today who've had children and who start suffering from different types of problems after the birth? Everything from high blood pressure to diabetes to fatigue to depression to the fact that sex may hurt after pregnancy and after birth. How about you can't hold your urine? How about you can't hold your feces? How about you start suffering from all sorts of little signs and symptoms that you didn't know and didn't have before you birthed? There's two places to look, and you've heard it before on Dr. Bob's show, but we're going to get into it a little more deeply today. What happens after the cesarean? What happens after the episiotomy? What do those scars really do, and what types of therapies do we have for them? This is even in addition to the clay and the castor oil, which we're going to go over today. So I've brought my esteemed colleague on, Ellen Heed. I've worked with her for 12 years on multiple capacities. At some point, you want to go to her website, ellenheed.com, and see all the amazing things this woman does. As I said, I've worked with her for 12 years. Her credibility, all right, is absolutely supreme. I give her my total green light, and I want to introduce her to you today to talk about one of her amazing therapies. Ellen, good morning.
Good morning, Dr. Medici.
Ellen, we're going to talk about cesareans today, and we're going to talk about episiotomies, and we're going to talk about what you do, which is, and get this straight, audience, Ellen's developed a therapy where she goes intravaginally with her fingers through the vaginal canal up under the pubic bone and starts to work out the scar to physically manipulate the scar, whether it's the cesarean or the episiotomy, to resolve it. And I think there are some very good reasons for that. But you don't know those reasons yet, because your understanding right now, if you've got an understanding of what happens with episiotomies, is that even if they're not good, you can get them from the outside, that a scar is just a line on the surface of the skin, and if you put something on it, it resolves. Well, we have another standard for this that we want to introduce today, but really the question is, and I'm going to ask you, Ellen, why do we have to go inside the vagina with the fingers to resolve the scar? What is it about going inside that you can't do from the outside? This question may be obvious, but it's not really obvious.
Well, you have to look at a scar as something in three dimensions. Most people see the scar on the skin, which is in two dimensions. They see the line where the incision was. The fact is the scar tissue reaches deep, deep inside the skin. Imagine if you took something the size of a plum or a grapefruit and took it into you. That's the size of the network, the root ball of fibrotic tissue, the way it infiltrates all the connective tissue and the organs and the parts of us that are subcutaneous, that means under the skin. You got to think of a three-dimensional sphere of fibrotic tissue that prevents healthy physiological function of organs, of circulation, of lymphatic drainage, etc.
All right, so we're going to get rid of this idea, guys. One thing we've got to do, if you've got these scars, cesareans, episiotomies, and you'll have loads of time today to call in, but for the purposes of on the show, we want to limit the calls today just to cesarean and episiotomy and all the things you think you're going through as a result. But the first concept here, and we really, Ellen and I, want to drive this home, is that the scar is not simply that line on your body that goes a millimeter or so deep. It's much deeper, as she's saying. It drops in a spherical, circumferential way, as big as a lemon or as big as a grapefruit. And as she's saying, it knocks out the lymph. It knocks out the arterial supply. It locks out venous drainage. It twists your nerves. Your electrical supply to your organs is twisted. And once it twists, it pulls your other organs out of place. And this is essentially the reflex. So when we say scars reflex, it's not a magical statement. There's a very sound, physiological, dissectable, visible, palpable problem. And Ellen's hands are so beautifully trained to feel this that she can finesse it from the inside. So, Ellen, you're saying basically that you have to go inside if you're going to get these scars.
If you're going to get to the root ball of fibrotic tissue, you cannot get that from the outside. You need to get it from both sides at once. If we're talking about a C-section, you need to be under the pubic bone from an internal approach. You need to be on the scar from a cutaneous. That means the place where the scar is on the skin. You're working that scar from both sides, the inside and the outside. That's the only way that I see improvement, especially in a C-section scar.
All right. You know, perfect. So one thing for our audience we've got to give them, and we did it. The scar is much deeper than that line on the body. Boom. The next one is, Ellen, define episiotomy. Where is it? And pelvic floor. So we're going to introduce a term today, and some of the men don't know this, and some of the women don't know this, and some of the women that haven't had children that are going to have children, they don't really know what an episiotomy is. So would you define that, an episiotomy?
An episiotomy is an incision that's made by a midwife or a doctor when the baby's coming out. In other words, in order to avoid vaginal tearing, an actual split of the pelvic floor, that's the area between the vagina and the anus. In the perineum, in order to avoid a tear in the perineum, an incision is made. There are two kinds of episiotomies. One is straight down the midline of the body between the vagina and the anus, and another one is angled off to the side between the vagina and the sit bone.
All right, so these doctors are then doing these episiotomies routinely. Am I correct?
Less now than they used to, but it used to be extremely routine.
Tell me, why are doctors doing less episiotomies today? Have they learned something that we already know.
Yeah, doctors have seen that the outcome from episiotomies is not always positive. In fact, it's rarely positive, and they're not really that helpful, and they're not necessary. Women can actually stretch.
Beautiful. This is what I wanted to do with you on the show, and we're doing it. All right? This isn't esoteric mumbo jumbo. This is something that's been done to women extensively over the last 30 years. And now medical doctors are writing in medical journals that there are side effects from these episiotomies. That's why we have Ellen Heed. And this is my point to you. Whether a doctor has to do one because he feels in good conscience he has no choice, you need to get it repaired. And Ellen's going to comment on how. That's number one. Number two, doctors today are looking to teach patients alternatives so they don't need the episiotomy. So even in good conscience, then, we have a problem. Not to mention, we're learning that we've done so many of these things unnecessarily. I'm going to start with a story. Here's a story, guys. Woman comes into my office a couple of weeks ago, and she's very shy to tell me that she's got this chronic diarrhea. And I'm talking to her, and I'm not quite understanding what she's getting at. And then I find out the truth. For 10 years, this woman, and Ellen, you follow with some stories after this, but if
sure.
This woman comes in and she bashfully admits that she defecates down her leg in public now. It's a true story. And this just happened a few weeks ago. And she can't hold her feces anymore. And I ask her, what happened? And of course, it's not just the episiotomy. It's she tore. She tore all the way from the vagina to the anus. She had the full tear. And part of that's because she didn't understand how to prep for the birth. The other part of that is once you tear like that, okay, and Ellen, I'll have you take over now. These muscles in your perineum, which Ellen's going to go to, they rupture or they strangulate, and they're no longer functional. Your pelvic floor stops working. Ellen knows the anatomy even better than I do. So if you comment on this story, what happened to this woman?
Well, what happened is she probably suffered an episiotomy and a full tear that not only went to the front side of her rectum, but all the way through to the back side. And when the back side of the rectum is, when the whole rectum is interrupted in that way, the sphincter, the circular donut of muscle that controls the movement of feces is interrupted and the nerve supply is interrupted, that spherical scar tissue that we were talking about is invested in the muscle, and the muscle Amazing. Can't contract to hold in the feces anymore. There's no control. Both internal, there's two anal sphincters. There's an internal anal sphincter, an external anal sphincter. That scar tissue can grow up and infest the internal anal sphincter. That's our go-to control for the movement of feces. The external anal sphincter, we have conscious control over whether we relax it or whether we hold it tight. The internal anal sphincter has a mind of its own, and we don't control that with our consciousness. And if scar is up and into that internal anal sphincter, it can't hold feces. That's the problem.
And of course, women that tear don't relax during birth. And what is that about? In other words, Ellen and I, at this point, I can see women coming in pregnant, and I know they're going to tear, and I know they're going to have problems because I can see their autonomic nervous system is off. So just comment, Ellen, you can see this just as I can on the kind of woman who's going to get pregnant, and she's either going to have to go cesarean, or she's going to have a real episiotomy or a bad tear, and it has something to do with some characteristic about her. We say she's uptight. We say she doesn't know how to relax. We say she needs to do Lamaze therapy. But get into that a little bit more, Ellen.
Well, I could say that elements of the psyche reside in the muscles of the pelvic floor, especially the smooth muscle. Those would be the sphincters, including internal anal sphincter, the cervix, the smooth muscle of the vagina. There's an element of unconscious tension that's held there as a result of somebody not being able to download stress properly. Even people who think they're relaxed, even people who are doing orgasmic birthing practices and all kinds of breathing and stretching and so forth, may not be aware of their unconscious tension. And you can see it. You can sense it by looking even into their eyes and noticing what's happening there with the pupils. That the pupils are constricted, so are the sphincters at the other end.
This is what I think you do, Ellen, as well as anybody I've ever known. And that is you can read those internal...